me up, anime. I've lost track. What's happening now?
I don't know.
Well, when do you pick your cantaloupes?
When we cut them?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I think it started Monday. What today?
Tuesday. Wednesday. Tuesday. Yesterday?
Well, it's Tuesday the 20th, isn't it?
Yeah.
There it is, right.
Yeah.
There.
Well,
they just finished up cutting them today.
Did they? Well, now they got quite a few out there. They just got a truck or something coming.
Bob, are those cantaloupes that they stole, or do you know?
No.
No. They're not sold. They're to be sold.
How about your melons? Are you cutting melons?
I don't even know what they're doing. You asking somebody
that
don't know. I'm farming, and I ain't anxious to learn.
What
is raising cows? I'll help you. Love that.
Yeah. I could use help.
I want a calf. Needs a mama. I want to be a mama for a calf.
You need a calf that wants a mama?
Yeah, I'll be the mama.
Oh, you be the mama.
I want a calf that needs a mama, I said. I mean a good strain of cow.
Yeah, you need a good calf.
I want the calf. I want to raise it on the bottom.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, a little troublesome.
Huh?
A little troublesome.
Ah, I don't think so. Get one of those buckets that got the nipple down on the side, you know?
Yeah.
And just teach him that's it, and that's
yeah.
Where he gets it, and
yeah.
That's the lady come get it.
Twice a day?
Yeah, three times a day if he needs to have it, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, you gotta watch
the rest of the time, I said, loving him.
You got the bucket, you got every time you do it, you gotta wash the bucket.
I know, I saw it. I know.
Oh, that's mighty regular.
I know. Well, you know, you have two buckets, you know.
Yeah, one of them would get lost if I had it.
I've always wanted to raise a calf that way.
They busted it or something like that. Well.
I want to raise them and I want to teach them to go with the halter and lead and all that. You know, I got a cow on the farm with a pet like that, but she doesn't know what a string or rope around her neck means. She doesn't know what that thing means. And I don't think she would even know.
She's not interested.
No, sir.
Well,
you
know.
Put that string around and start pulling on it. She just do like that and do it back. And she wonder, what the heck
yeah,
you doing?
Yeah. Well, you know, after they get to a certain age, it's hard to teach them.
I know. Well, she's that age.
On that halter business. Or rope.
No.
I don't know that I'd try it when they get grown.
Oh, no. I couldn't. But I just tried rope around her neck.
What happens to Marge Mickens when I see him occasionally, but then I miss you?
Nothing. He's still working.
Does he work solid?
No. He's solid all the time. He's been helping us win.
Yeah.
From the day begin, you know.
Yeah. On the melon.
Uh-huh.
Field.
And the farm. The
farm.
And all that.
Yeah.
And then if you show to help him in the yard and meet a truck driver while we call him, he comes in.
Well, he just works when you need him then.
Uh-huh.
Then when he gets through, he goes home.
Uh-huh.
I see.
And that hasn't been much since squash and watermelon cantaloupes in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd missed him. I wanted to see him about, you know, one or two of those things. I'd missed him. I've been taking around a few melons. You need some?
Better two, Henry.
Big gator down in the
pond.
Here's Dylan.
Yes, you can hear him.
He went through that watermelon field the other day. He made a hole through that way he went through.
You see that place, that hole? Yeah.
He went off his trail.
Yeah. Took the shortcut. That shortest route, I guess, right through there.
When he goes away, comes back?
He must. I don't run into him like they did, you know, when they were back there working.
You know, when he said to him the other day, he's going up that Iverson, up that road up there. You know, up there past Redwood, that's where he's got his cows on the lake on the right. He said it was a great big one out there in the middle of that damn field.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said, I guess he's talking to him. He's off that prairie going to the lake again.
Yeah. I wonder what Fred would say to that.
Hey,
yes, ma'am.
You turn your cows.
All right.
Thank you,
yes,
ma'am.
Sir.
They were just through with those melons.
check up there, those people, and see how long.
Well, I canceled that call, you know. I'll
be ahead of
things.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But what I want to ask you about now, this price is on this lumber. Now, that was 25 standard and 75 construction. That's only two before, the 2-6, 2-8.
What would they get hold of?
2-4 is 150.
Well, I don't think they get hold of
anything,
$2.99.50.
Well,
no eggs out
there. I guess sell us about a third.
I wouldn't
think
they would be. I don't think they'd eat an egg either.
Oh, they'll take a bite of anything once.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cow will take a bite of anything once just to see what's on.
Well, go ahead and place it.
But it's kept on it more like it.
On the coastline, ACL. Yeah. Cut the car down now, it's more than you can between 35 and 40. I think the last one we got used by 43.
You think they'll come on out now this
time? Okay, buddy.
They'll stay on coming back there again Thursday. And I don't think you're going to have any market after that.
Going up Georgia?
Tuesday, well, the market's dropping in. And Tuesday is the night of the deadline, 27th.
I don't know where he went. I guess he has.
On the shipping 4th of July loans, and there's living hardly once in a lifetime. I have seen it once or twice. That new shipping amount after the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen it happen. Very, very rare.
Yeah. I guess it kind of season to, you might have a late season or something like that, or you'd ship late.
Well, that's true, because the cause of that would be for them to get killed out up there and leave us down here, and they'd have to plant over and make them all go out something like that.
You know, I think that was one countryside. I've heard several talk about it. You know, I know Offutt had melons up there, and Mr. Boyle, and they had a time limit on it. They cut them out, and the market was late, and I think the melons were late that year. I think that's where the, you know, the hiccup started.
Well, it's.
I just have to think of it.
I have seen it. 2 weeks after you started shipping, the market would be better than it was when you started.
Yeah.
But that's a rare too.
That's Now this year, what stimulated our market was the drought got them down below us.
Right.
You had those early ones way down.
So irrigated water stuff was the stuff that paid off this time.
Lay on the ground.
Brown melons,
the one that lost out.
That's right.
And that's what made the market for them.
And that would work right in here, too, wouldn't it?
Right.
That would slow it up right in here.
That's right.
Send it out.
Yeah, and it followed all the way up. And it followed on up there.
I see.
The three in the market is still up in here.
I see. Yeah, it looks like you just have to have it now and protect yourself.
Yes,
you might want it.
Just trying to grow without warning, you might as well just not try.
Well, I haven't seen Have a little help, doesn't it?
I don't know, there's some out there you can't even see that you think about.
Can't help
you.
All right.
Well, it's still better than a cent a pound, I guess.
They were passing at Center Point yesterday, over here.
Huh.
On the bell going in Center Point.
Well, up there, they need to get a cent and a half.
I tell you, more likely.
I mean, off the bell. Oh, you mean if he's when he's selling? Well, how does a man do that, sir?
Monopoly. No competition.
Well, he got the melons and somebody wants to load up.
Well.
And he got two trucks and wants one load.
Ain't over here. Well, he's in the business, see? He ain't got no bars around here. Now, this year, it has been. There's been a demand, see, and we sold a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
For more money loading right in the truck. Quite a few. But on there, you don't have the demand, see. And what else can you do? You can't ship them yourself. You got to be bonded to ship. Of course, we had our own company up until this year. But you got to be bonded, and it takes a lot of money. Because you got to pay for 12 months if you have anybody else in the loan besides your own. And it takes $700 just for you. 3 or 4 weeks for your own stuff, and so 4 or 5 weeks. That's where they get you, you know. Now, when the trucks come down and bond direct like they have this year, when you have the demand, they buy a melon and that's their melon. You give them an invoice on that truck. And that's their one because they pay it. But,
you don't have to be bonded for that.
No, sir. They don't have to be bonded to hold their own loans. But if you put them over the rail, these piggybacks, you've got to ship two, and they've got to go to the same destination to get your rate. Understand? They put two on a flat cut over long car, hold two. And to get your rate on them, it'd be almost prohibitive, you know, just ship one. You've got to ship two, and they've got to go to the same destination. They could go to different houses. You have to say New York, and one of those like that. All kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of got to be entered in order to play the game.
And those piggybacks, when you order one of those piggybacks, when they set it down here, that's your piggyback. You're responsible for that thing until it gets back to the railroad. If it had a wreck up there, you're responsible for it.
That's costly. You got to have insurance to cover it?
Well, I'm in good. I'm in comfortable then when you. He would have to have, because he couldn't get the train.
Well, now that case that you know of, that was he can sign them up the road.
Well, he sure.
Right here on the spot?
On the telephone.
Yeah. Yeah. But they weren't here. He went on up. That was.
Well, they went on up the road.
But he sold them up the country.
Sold them A&P or something.
I see. You mean they pay a margin like that?
That's where it's just went for this thing. But it goes all over the United States on that.
Vegetables?
Nothing? Well, quite that long, squash with the baby too. Different things.
Yeah. No central buyer. Each A&P does its own buying.
They have the central buyer.
Yeah. Make anything out of A&P, that's something.
When we had our meetings over there, you know, I used to supervise about 1,000 acres of watermelons a year.
Just think about it.
Got me staggering now, too. But I'd probably come in with 10, 12, 15 cars at night. We would be on a track, and we'd have them inspected. And I'd have to get the inspection certificate, and all them. I'd probably be loading them 2 or 3 different places. Most of them were down Bellevue and Oxford.
Well, you'd have them way off like that?
Tomatoes and tomatoes.
Well, you were practicing the produce business.
Well, I supervise it. And be around, you know, see if we could have got the stuff. And somebody else came and get it, and we didn't know anything about it because we didn't have pictures of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd have to get the inspection certificates from the inspectors, and then I'd have to go build the cars out. Then I'd have to come into the office and write them up. I'd get home and get the sucker sometime, 11 or 12. Sometime maybe 1 or 2.
Well, you know, I saw just enough of it this year to know what a pain it can be.
You're not kidding. Headaches.
I saw just enough of it to sort of get a small idea. The way it can really make you stretch.
Like a night truck all loaded up then and couldn't get out. All those kind of things. Get a car started like we used to do. Back to St. Nelson. Yeah. Out of grave, got to tear it down. And then the packer, he'd raise his hand because he didn't want that extra work. We had a, you know, help with the board now.
I've
you know
seen those fellas,
on.
Yeah.
Well, old man, he was the biggest cusser you ever heard. And we had 35 acres or something like that. Mellons with him over at Anthem. Mm-hmm. And the name of these Tom Watsons. They'd burn easy, you know. Well, we got the loading and the inspectors, you know, they pulled me up and all, and loading about 5 or 6 cars a day. And Randy Bruce said, Mom said, well, we've got the damn inspectors for. I don't want that. They're holding me up. I said, well, Mr. Boy, I said, I'll go talk to Mr. Christie. You go call him on the telephone. So I went down there and called him long distance. And Mr. Cole wants to take his inspection off and none of them are holding him up. So, well, Bob, go back and tell him that it's so much better to have an inspection on him. You sell him and he's pulled up and ready in and all. And, then he's try to work on with it. I went back up for him and told him, he said, God damn, you and Mr. Christian too. I'm going to load my goddamn watermelon. I went back to him. I said, Mr. Christian. I said, Mr. Rose, goddamn, you and me too. He said, Bob. So go back up there and tell the inspector, we're sorry. But we're going to have to pull it over. And I said, tell Mr. Bodo.
before we had the inspections also. So I went back, and he was out of the field about 2 or 3 miles, I said. So I... he was out in the field. I went out there and he said, just nice to be. He said, Bob, said, I'm going to leave you and Elmer and have 10 of these miles. He had another couple who hadn't read it with old man Bear. He said, I'm going to take the bunch over there. I said, we're going to load them over there and say, you and Elmer 10 of these. So Elmer and I loaded 75 cones of melons there without inspection. And we didn't have a kick on one. And one day, we had everything on the track loaded but one car. And the car looked like it was ammoniated. What I mean by that, it looked like it had had fertilizer or something shifting. The car hadn't, you know, I was afraid that it might rot melon. So I went to the farm and I called Mr. Fisher to ask him what to do about it. And I didn't want to take it on myself. He says, well, wait a minute, I had some could have come over. I told him what it was, and he said, well, wait a minute. So, Mom said, I can't come over there right now. I said, you and Elmer work it out best you can. So we decided to go and load the car, which we did, and then we didn't have any trouble. And the next morning, I came in and saw Mr. Christian. I said, Mom said, read me. I couldn't come over there. I said, Mr. DeFore was sitting right in front of me. And he said, no, I said, let Elvin and Bob work that out.
Oh, don't say that.
I might want to call you for camera in a few minutes.
With y'all a little bit this year and pick up a little information. You know, it's nice to know those things, and it's hard to get information, you know, run across the right fella at the right time. I just sort of hung around when y'all was working up there.
Well, actually, guy, we made a good crop of melons, but with a little more attention and two or three little things that could have done even better.
Uh-huh.
Got in a hurry there and broke it when it was a little bit dry and it's hard to break.
Yeah.
And the way that it got a rain.
Not as satisfactory.
That's right. Probably that would have helped. Put a little more fertilizer while we fertilize good. That field, some of the others, we didn't give just what they ought to have. But actually on the fertilizer, that was all right. I figured on 1,500 pounds an acre on a 688. And it had a couple of minor elements in it. One of them was boron, which not a good one. And manganese, I think, was up. And then I tried to give them twice as much ammonium nitrate as I did. And I couldn't get no respirator to put out anymore. But I usually put about twice as much ammonium nitrate. But anyhow, that's, you know, when it's first starting off, you gotta grow. But I came back with about 400 pounds of nitrate of potash. Right that last year. And that puts your proper miles on me.
That, I kept a little moisture there too, if anything, well, won't it?
Yeah, but that helps, yeah. If any moisture in there, it'll gather it.
I remember you said before they started cutting or anything, well, in 31 acres, you had about $2,600.
I think that's what Chris said.
That's before you started cutting. That's putting the money to it, isn't
it? That's what I can get, you know.
That's like buying your land.
Yes, that's one thing that Fred neglects is that one.
Oh, you are?
A little holding down to the bed.
Oh.
And we'll have some nice ones, about to last this week, the first and next.
You think so?
Nothing happens to them, of course.
You think they'll be ready by then?
Nice. Yes, yes, sir.
Then they come up with, you missed it.
They never complain about overpayment.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I make 35. This 740 50 makes a dollar. Thank you, man.
Well, you know about Camp Blaine.
I worked up there for about a couple of weeks. I worked up there as long as Gina let me. She was about half sick then, and she couldn't roll down this place. That was a hot place, so I found it.
Yeah, you were there in the hot season?
I sure was. The hottest, first day I worked up there was the hottest day they've had on record in Gainesville in 50 years or something like that.
It seemed hotter than ever because you.
Yeah, well, ain't a shade tree on that place. No shade trees up there's a pine. You don't get any shade out of a pine tree 50 feet high, 40 feet high. We went up there, Toby Smith and myself went up there. We wanted to get a job. I was going to let Jane stay in here. She went up to Jacksonville, had an operation. I was short of money, and I needed some money pretty bad. I owed the bank a note. So, brother-in-law told us to go up there and see Kirkpatrick and Pearson in Gainesville. They had a job up there that I told him I wasn't any skilled carpenter, anything like that. Yeah, they used it. The Toby over here, he's a pretty good carpenter then. So we went up there. Had a talk with Mr. Kirkpatrick. He said he didn't need a man with a strong brain and a strong back was what he mostly desired. So we went up there and we built those old grease racks that they put those old army trucks on and greased them. They built them out of wood. The smallest piece of timber we used was a 4x4. The smallest nail we used was a 20 penny, and I didn't know they made nails that big till I got up there. I'll be frank with you, they had some up there that long. You start them with a carpenter's hammer and finish them up with a sledgehammer. And Toby, that first day up there, he tried to go at it too fast and too hard, and he got a heat cramp and it took him down to the infirmary. And he didn't go back up there. He got pretty sick. He got those cramps, got in his hand to start with, and got in his arm, and got in his stomach. He's just drawing double and all of them. He didn't have any salt pills around there. The next day, they brought a bucket full of salt pills up. He'd like to run me off wearing a pair of tennis shoes up there after that. Said I'd stick a nail in my foot.
Yeah.
But I worked up there for about 3 weeks or something like that after that. I rode up there with Rogers. He was working up there. But they had a good, easy job. They were down at that prefabrication place where they're just making a side of a house, you know, and that wasn't much trouble to do that. Dang grease rack business.
Yeah, you got all you needed.
We squared up though that old decking that went on top of them in 4x4. They put up a stack of them about that big right out in a asphalt road. And take a cross cut saw, and being another nigga, I mean another man, we'd have to square the ends of those things up. They'd measure them off and they'd get a starter down and saw that whole pile down there, square the ends of them off.
Right out in that boiling sun.
Yeah, I'd like to got it up there one evening. I got right before knocked off, or I was getting cramps in my fingers and up my arm. But I got by all right.
Well, catch me up, Fred, on the watermelon.
Well,
he
just
bought
right
well, that's what we're doing that hours. We cut them up and got ready and take them to the bell. That's we got a load sold somewhere and sell them.
You haven't got a load sold now?
We just sold it, got a load already, got the load.
Well, they came down here with Fred.
Well, we got about another load of loading a piece of half.
Or one of your field trucks?
Yeah.
And you still, and you're going to have some more to cut pretty soon.
I doubt if we get through today. Cut yesterday, today. Might get through today.
Who's helping you?
Helping me what? Load them?
You're cutting and loading them.
Oh, Butch and Ash and Pete and Jill and Gene and Sam Bowen. I don't know. Three or more small.
Oh, my God. Now, this 2-inch ring you got.
Yeah, they'll be open another week anyway.
Yeah, but this will improve them on it.
Well, too much rain will ruin them.
Well, dry as it was, you couldn't say this too much.
No, I don't get mad too much yet. Well, too much rain will ruin them.
Well, dry as it was, you couldn't say this too much.
No, I don't get mad too much yet.
Well, I tell you, I was getting be right short, losing patience, you know. I'm
glad to see the rain. I would say if we had more rain, we'd be on fast and help the corn. Ain't gonna hurt nothing.
I can wait to be about the last man, you see, but it's getting so it's getting dry again, all the way I am. And
it ain't as dry as it did a lot of places. It ain't never rained over there and look there in Trenton people.
And
corn all still burning up.
Oh, really? Well, I thought it rained everywhere but right here.
No, we've been kind of lucky on getting good old showers. Lucky in other places.
Yeah.
Edward had melons down at Bellevue. And Edward had melons at Bellevue, and he never got any rain from the last February till about the middle of his loading season, which was around the 1st of June.
Had water?
He had the water. They watered over 7 times. Spent $2,000 irrigating.
About time, boy.
Yeah, I bet he wouldn't do that again if he knew ahead of time, would he?
I don't know. He's saying he may be going to make pretty good money down there.
Even with all that irrigating. Goodness. Goodness. Did you hear that, Frank? How much?
Anybody that wants a load of cantaloupe, send them around. I haven't got them, but there's another fella here that has. Got a trailer load on the
cut that. Yeah. Well, call him up and tell him that old man that's cutting Buddy's melons, his boy runs the bell load out. We wanted a load yesterday.
Well,
we'll
be back.
Okay.
Hold him
up now. Thank you.
They have more than a whole cantaloupe right here.
Well, they've been selling them pretty well.
I don't know what they've been getting out of those things, God, I'll tell you the truth.
Well, I mean, they've been moving them down there.
Yeah, but I think you got a bunch of them too moving down there now.
Yeah, I just down there and got
them overripe, too.
Yeah, I just down there and got some.
Oh, you did?
Well, I didn't talk to anybody. Not about the cantaloupe.
If I saw anybody that wanted any, well,
Freddy said that old man that's running the watermelon belt over there. You talking about getting ready cantaloupe? Freddy said that old man that runs that watermelon belt over there for Buddy, his son wanted a load of cantaloupes yesterday. Huh? Well, I didn't know whether you knew about it or not. I started calling him today. Okay.
She knew about it.
Said Bill had been keeping in touch with him, but he drove over and seen. He'd been trying to help me move some watermelon and try to help them move. Trading around, helping each other out, loading it. The other thing.
Well, they're right down there at the packing house where everybody comes in. Now, you don't fool with them anymore, do you?
I don't fool with anybody except the man who got the cash money and they're paying for them. That's the way I do business with them.
Fred, could you make a little extra if you consigned them up the road?
I don't know, guy. I've got caught in that.
Yeah.
Get a trail of them up there, they'll have them sold here at a good price, and when you get up there, they'll say, well, 50 of them is rotten, 50 is green, and
we'll
have to take that off.
And
wait around for an adjustment, it'll probably be a month after you send them up there before you ever get the money out of them, and you don't know how to go in. I'd rather just...
Well, these boys then that come down here to the trucks, they pay off?
Yes, sir, they sure do. They sure do.
Write your check?
Those two I loaded out there? No, sir, they don't write me a check. If they bonded, I'll take a check on them. If they're not bonded, I won't take them.
You mean they carry cash with them?
They carry cash with them. That guy loaded those two trailers out there the other day. He left in, left the two drivers in before he left. He knew about what they was going to be. Wasn't quite sure though, had to wait. He walked in here and paid me $1,500 bill. Said two boys out there said I was afraid to leave this much money with them. They might check out or something. I left enough to pay the balance. Freddy went down and got about $150 more or something like that.
Okay. Well, now, what do you do that night?
Yeah.
Put in the post office?
I got a little place over a hole in the ground I carried out there and buried.
You have to get it off your hands, Fred. You can't hold it. Hold
don't
it.
Don't you worry, I'll get it off my hands.
Nobody's
gonna hit your head, don't Nobody don't know I got it until after I got rid of it.
You don't want to.
I'm scared to let too many people know I got it because some of my own might be up
here. Yeah. Well, now how can you get it off your hands? You got to go to the bank.
I can carry it up there to the bank. That's the best way to do.
I'd get right up there. Lord help us. I didn't think my life would be safe if I had $50 on me.
Man, over in 1951, I stayed over there on 301 and sold watermelons for William Christian. That's Bill Wynn's dad-in-law. He had about 500 acres over there at the hill. We went and had them all packed up on top, and all we could do was be selling to this truck trader comes down here, these peddlers. And I'd check in at the office every night. They stayed open till about 8 or 9 o'clock. I'd collect it from those colored sharecroppers over there. Collect it from the truck driver. Tell him how much I had, what they sold there and all, and then I'd carry it on into the office. I had stayed out there though when they wanted to finish the truck, so till 11:30 at night and come home with maybe a couple $1,000 in my pocket.
God, man. When was that?
That was 1951.
Did he make his money mostly on the side like that and produce and all?
He made quite a bit of it that way, but he's always pretty shrewd. Business man. I always thought he'd run straight and all he'd do what he said he would. He'd pay you a price for something today and you sold it to him today. If you waited till next year to get your money, it'd be down there to the penny for you. He didn't do very much buying though. He was right back in those days, we consigned a lot of stuff. And he got a rebate from those fellas up the country there that he represented. He represented Gamble Weinstein Company. New York for years. They used to ship a lot of lettuce up there, eggplant, cucumbers, and all that kind of stuff. And, he had a pretty good
pretty good outlet up there. If they didn't sell it for what he thought it ought to be sold, even though he didn't have any, if he's had another man's stuff, he'd call him up and he'd really give him a fit about it. He'd tell him he couldn't get it unless he got more for him. I'd say that much for him. He's really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our stuff went in by freight then, too. We'd go by truck.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we'd get all fouled up on making connections up there. Route a bunch of stuff up there, and sometimes it headed back south. You know how railroad company used to be. And we put in a claim for it, and he'd always get your claim for you and give it to you. It'd be right.
Seemed like there was some produce dealer down there that was always getting things crossed up, Fred. I forget the names of them. Wasn't there another one down there?
There was Cocker.
Yeah.
Cocker. Christian Cocker was. Cocker was active in it, though. Christian, he was just a silent partner in it.
Oh, oh.
He and Miss Patterson and John McCray and Louise Graham all had a big row here about watermelon crop or bean crop or something. I don't know who was right in it. Cocker handled watermelons for me for a number of years, and he did all right. He didn't do any work on this.
Louise Graham was in on that?
Yes.
Louise Graham and who?
Miss Patterson, they put in a suit against him. They put in a, they had the Commission of Agriculture in on it. No.
Who else was besides her?
I think that was the only two. I don't know whether anybody else in it.
Oh, I thought you mentioned somebody else.
But John McCray, but I don't know whether he put in a claim in or not.
Mm-hmm.
Watermelon business is kind of a rat race. I'm going to tell you that right now, especially when you got a bad market. Now, if they come down here and buy stuff from you today, and the market's good and high, say 3 cents a pound, and they don't know about the movement of what's going to be out here today, and if things slide down to about a cent, cent and a half a pound, they're going to do everything in the world they can. If you've got it consigned, they're going to beat you out of that price if they can. They'll find anything in the world they can with a watermelon up there to get back eating.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I like this cash business down here. I know what a melon are today. I get a ticket for them. I can go up there and collect it from the office at the end of the week. I can go up there tonight and collect it. As soon as I sell them,
Don,
load them down.
Don,
I can go down and pick my money up. Yes,
yeah.
And these fellas are coming here with these trucks, these peddlers. They weigh their trucks when they come in. We load them with watermelons and tell them what we're selling for a pound to them. They carry the truck back down there and weigh them, and we get our money right there.
Yeah, now who sets the price?
I get a watermelon bulletin.
Yes, yeah, sir.
But the only thing is, now I get that bulletin today. It'll be yesterday's market. It's put out by the state.
Now, when they go down there and weigh out, Fred, do they come back up here and pay you?
Fred follows them down there.
Oh, he goes with them, I see.
He
follows them down there.
Oh, yeah, the funniest thing happened several years ago. There was an old Jew that came over there to Citra. We loaded more than ours over there. We had a bunch of junk over there, stuff we filled out, you know. And we wanted it. We told him what we loaded for. Well, he'd be back again. They said, well, you better give us a deposit on it if you want us to hold it for you. So he came back. $50, I think, deposited on the load, and came back out there, and we loaded him. He was quarreling about it. It wasn't what he thought it was, and this and that and the other, trying to chisel us some on the price, but we wouldn't give him a bit on the price, because he'd already made the price. We loaded him out, and he paid Freddie. And Freddie never thought about that deposit that he'd given him. Oh, you forgot about it. Well, I finished him out there, and Freddie got in his truck, he wasn't there. To come home, he started up the road and got about halfway up in. There's a Cadillac behind him, a blowing and a going on. And finally, stopped him and said, "Old Jew, after he departed there."
Yeah.
He gave him back his $50. Poor old fellow's about to have a heart attack. I'm
telling you. That was just clear money, wasn't it? He was letting that get away.
If he get back, he just got in a rush out there and forgot about it.
Lord
Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord getting any melon?
He cut a right good little bit out there the other day. I cut about a couple of that.
And then one of these
just steel trucks.
Steel trucks.
He finished out a load of him for Bill Williams.
Oh. Well, good for him. Now will he make a little out of that?
He told me he's about even now. He's asking me a little bit.
Funniest thing I ever heard about giving back the wrong change, you know, there was a fella that got caught in a speed trap somewhere up in South Carolina, Georgia, or somewhere. It was one of those terrible traps, you know, like they had. And they caught him, and he went to court with him, and he explained it to me. He was in the right the way he told it. He said his fine for about $50. Well, he paid him, and the man gave him back the, I don't know what bill, denomination bill, but anyway, when they gave him back his change, they gave him back the $50 and about $20 on top of that. Wrong change. Well, he put it in his pocket and came on down the state. And this old justice of the peace wrote him down here and asked him if he didn't make a mistake on it. I think he wrote him back and told him he made a mistake when he caught him up there, so he couldn't tell him about the change. I don't much blame him, though.
Yeah. Oh, they had a time on those old traps.
Oh, they had one over in Mickinoka. That fellow Duncan was Marshall over there, and they had a regular racket over there on that thing for a while.
Yeah. City of Mickinoka? That paid the police for it.
Paid the mayor and all over there then. They were all making a killing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know anything.
These superhighways done away with a lot of that, though.
Yeah.
It's Interstate 75, you know.
You can't hardly go no faster unless you're on that.
You sure can. You know, you better have a good car out there, too.
Right it up.
That's your best place to work, that way your wheels ain't lining up. Your front wheels. You sure need some cars after you run out there about a day with
it. Maybe not that long.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got in Valdosta, Georgia. And had to buy a set of tires, not a set. Rome, Georgia.
Yeah, that's way on up there.
Yeah. I've gotten that way. We got on 75 there.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Weather.
Well, we'll have a shower this afternoon.
Any more wind?
I don't think so. I don't know. The clouds don't look like wind. But yes, it is a terrible wind.
Mm-hmm. And some lightning.
Yes, it was. But it's so warm that it's going to rain. I don't know about this storm, but it's going to rain.
I saw him down here yesterday, didn't I? Didn't I see him down here yesterday?
He was here yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know where you see him.
Yeah. I'm going to stop by, but I...
Oh,
yeah. Except my...
It wasn't no shower. We had a rain last night.
Jeez. How's the lunch with?
Granddaddy, I sure tempted. Where'd you get all them good peas? Gosh,
I don't know.
Gosh,
peas. You ain't good to eat.
Yeah, go on, eat on. I don't stop. I just want to speak to y'all. See how you getting on.
Yes, bye.
Like,
you see this?
Oh, that's a beauty.
Ain't that pretty?
Yeah.
And that's one of the questions you gave me.
Uh-huh.
And there's another one that got a last little one, too. Like this,
oh, you're doing good. That's good. They'll make beautiful trees.
They will. I love cedar trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's out there where you can see it, too.
Right, I put it right there where I can look at it.
You seen that pretty one over yonder? It's
oh,
way over there by the corner of that shed.
Yes.
Oh, it's just beautiful. Every time I pass there, I look at it.
You know them right there? They're pretty. Over inside the past, our girls.
Yeah.
Look like they were spread out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And right up yonder, there's some the clump of them, you know, in the lane.
Uh-huh.
They have pretty ones right up there.
Well, you have some over there in the yard, don't you?
Cedars?
Yes.
Yeah. I planned to border all along here.
And you got several of them out there, too.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And I noticed your pines. You can see them. Oh, them weeds come up there.
Mm-hmm.
You could see them.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do all right.
I think so, too.
They just had a couple of bad seasons.
No. Oh, they do well.
Yeah. And then that old the hair grass crowds them too, you know.
That's right.
Now they're up now to where I don't think it'll do it. And then I
well,
See, I didn't have any hay last year.
No.
When I bought that old side mower. Mm-hmm. See, that old tractor mower I had wouldn't make hay. Just pulverize it.
We set up about 75 acres of old iron yonder. And that man had us to put hay around every tree.
Yeah.
Plenty of it.
Yeah, plenty of it.
Plenty of it.
Yeah. Keeps it moist and keeps it from choking out.
And you put that hay around that, it then to come back and roll.
Yeah. Yeah. Say that little mulberry getting big enough to climb, isn't it?
Oh, yes, sir. They go just as far as they can. They got a big one on the back. I was there while I was going to kill them. Up there. Way up there. One laying on them on this side and one laying on them on this side. But that's boys. And it's just two girls here. And the girls go just where the boys go. And
now, this time of year, you cooking.
Now that's
moving on across. That's the way the sun would start standing back there, and then go on. And I said, well, I guess all of you going all over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good sign. But generally, we don't get it over there.
No, sir.
Not very often.
I was mostly come from this way.
This time of
year. Coming from every week.
Yeah. Well, I don't care which way it comes, just so
me
it gets in.
Just so it fall on the ground.
Just so it fall on the ground. Melon, how you been?
Very well. You know, $6,000 worth. And I was so surprised. He picked up the check last night and sent it on to the bank. So I thought, well, it would be our luck for him to go down there and pick up the check and find the check of Mr. Hornog out of the country. But he did. He come through all right.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, over $6,000. Now, I don't know whether that includes the $1,572 in the first check we got or not. I haven't asked for him yet. But I wasn't feeling like this morning talking any business with him. So I heard him say it was something like $6,100 or some odd dollars.
Oh, yeah. Well, that beats $2,000 for you.
Sure did, didn't it? I could take a ring in his neck to try something like that with us.
Looks to me like you just about cleaned him out.
I want to get the cows in there so bad. And if I wasn't feeling so bad, I'd go back there with a hammer and a piece of wire and wire that back up down there just to turn them loose.
Now, you just take care of yourself.
No, day before I went to the doctor. I got out here and got the bull out of this field and brought him up here to let him in there with the milk cow. And, that was a day's work I did this.
Then, but. I want to hear the details of it sometime. Just how it comes out. You said, what's the highest price they brought, do you know? 2 cents?
It was bringing 4 cents at the other end. And he was getting 2.5 and it dropped a quarter.
Uh-huh.
He got 2.5 for the first load and it dropped a quarter for the rest.
Uh-huh.
And
well, that's phenomenal.
Now he's got all the weights and everything in there on a piece of paper. So I could probably look them up for you.
No, I don't know the exact amount,
but. But I thought they did pretty well after all the worrying we did.
But then you all shipped him up to the man in Atlanta.
No.
Mr. Horn did.
Yeah. He did all the. We didn't have anything to do with him after they left the field.
Yeah.
He bought him. Right,
he bought him right here to the field.
Uh huh. Well, he bought him. What he did? See, they packed him in these trucks, and the truck went down to Mayflower and was weighed. Then we pick up the weight tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tallies up all the weight tickets at the end of the. Well, you can get paid for each truck if you want to, or you can get paid for each day or each week or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we just waited till after the. First picking, we waited till they got through picking the entire business before we got paid this last time.
Well, I never saw them go through the fields like this. Hell, that was just Friday a week ago.
I know it.
And now they're through, aren't they?
They're all through. They got all the calls and everything out of it. They went over that field and over it and over it. I don't think they've missed a melon. There'll probably be some small ones out there in another day or two.
Well, that's phenomenal.
But the rest of them are all gone.
She's gone. Well, March is gone too. You see, Georgia's coming now.
That's right. We just hit it just right. We can do it again if we had tried to time it.
You timed it. You couldn't hit it.
We were working in the blind.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm greatly relieved. That's fine.
Well, it'll help right now. I mean, with all the expenses coming on now.
Now you can go ahead and finish your.
No, I want him to take some of this and invest it down there around that station and see if we can't move it. I want to get rid of it.
It's tired for that.
Yes, it's too much of a worry. And I think if he, you know, pretties up the front of it and plants some shrubbery and whatnot around there and make it a little more attractive, it might sell better.
Uh-huh.
The way it is, it's just the grass needs mowing. It's up this high and it needs to be cleaned out around there. And
they're going on.
You down going that way?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Down there.
About
rock down. Yeah, huh?
They're getting green and coals and polecats and possums to lead them. And you know, you wouldn't hardly believe this. You can go around there and strike a fox, but you know what it's after? Rats go down these cells there too. And they're after the rats. I didn't know it for a long time.
Well, no, I hadn't heard that.
I used to, when I was a kid, we had dogs, and the dog got at the fox. I'd run myself to death trying to get around and shoot that fox.
Yeah.
Come to find out, by the way, after I got larger and got to reading, keeping up with it, we all got to experimenting on it. They'll slip up around your house and catch more rats than all the house cats in the country.
Well, I'll be dead burned.
We'd up down at High Springs here a while back, and the other fellas would probably didn't know it, but I'd know what the dogs get on. They all had to trot along there and hunt in front of the car and see which one would have to holler to get out of the road and all like that. That's why they all went running. They didn't run right. And all at once, their choice was going to come back. They had run the blue things. I didn't hear one of them. I turned some miles. I didn't hear one of them bark. That's why we could hear the whole walker dog about a mile back up there. Oh, oh. We drove there. The dog wasn't trailing. It was cold. And he'd got right around the house up there and he said, oh, Lynn, man. And just had her by herself, you know, out there. And there's some of their dogs went, but they wouldn't say it. They wouldn't even prove it. They're afraid they'd listen to the car. They're afraid they're going to drive off and leave me.
Oh.
Douglas down here was in the bunch, too.
Yeah.
And he had a good little jip in there, but he caught her so she couldn't come back. Thanks. I always said for her back. I knew what I needed, just put me some dogs there. It was while one of these fellas walked back down between these houses and caught this dog of mine. He took him up and drove around and didn't have no way. I wouldn't turn him loose in them. And they never did jump in the car. We were out here all night.
Well,
you take in the 459, I tell it all like this. Don't never go around at this time of year, around fox hunting and 459 around people's places. Never go around nobody's place unless you get permission. Because as sure as you go in the 459, that fox will go up in there around the feed to catch those rats and things around the place. And I said, your dogs trail right around to serve the people. then if a roving dog comes through here and does something dirty, they'll think it's you. And
yeah.
I said, it gives a bad impression.
Yes.
I said, always let the people.
And they won't talk it out with you. They'll just hold it against you, so you're back.
Some of them will. Some of them will tell you they'd rather you wouldn't at certain times, you know. And some won't. I've had them up in North Alabama tell me, says, don't hunt around my place now, because well, our cotton's opening now. Says, we don't want to run through our cotton patch. Well, we didn't do it either, because we all tried to cooperate. Then as soon as they picked the cotton over, you know, they didn't care how much we were.
Yeah.
And we never would.
Well, when did you find that out, that them foxes would do that?
Back up then, back in the first of 20, in 18.
Yeah, well, you've been doing it a good while.
I've been doing it ever since 1906, huh?
Yeah.
But when I didn't know, I thought you're supposed to kill everything, but you're not. You only, if it gets too many, they can get too many to cause diseases that can come through and kill them. Then another thing, they will, you take a gray fox, will, when they got young ones, food's real scarce, will catch a chicken. Most of the feathers you see, that's where the chicken has died, and somebody goes out there and they pitch it up and carry it. And I didn't know it for a long time. They experimented up at Auburn, Alabama. They caught 100 fox. And so we can walk, I can tell you this, if we're going around it. We can just walk right around it.
Okay.
We can ride either one.
Yeah. Well, I got the interest in what you're saying.
Well, we're going down. Turn that down at the V shape right around the corner there, to the left.
You go back down here?
Yeah. Go going around the corner, right in there. Turn right in there. Turn right around the corner there. Right down
in,
there.
Right here.
Yeah. You can go right down in there. Could go around there and fish the bus road right around there.
No, I've never been down this way.
Well, I know George Myers took stuff in here and stopped the car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's going to throw this up. That's why nobody thinks he can drive in here. Stop right in the shade of that tree there. Ain't nobody hard to come to right here.
Right along here?
Yeah.
Just 2 miles last year, and one a shot right in there, I think. And I once sold him $300. Dog has helped him make a living. He is a mate to this one, on just a year younger, and his mate, letter mate, got killed both the same day. You know,
I
went and sold those two $500. And the other one's worth $100. Here's an old, come here, Anna. Come here, Anna. She's funny. She run right up on it. Don't pay no attention. She won't bite you. Come on, Anna. You come around. Usually she runs just strange with it.
Hi there.
If you get right up on here, I'll hold her back so she won't bite you.
That won't hurt me. Hi there, Pete.
Now, she's 70 years old.
Well, that's a good system.
That meant I got two little older. That yonder, well, I thought I was going to lose him. Holland did.
Yeah.
He's kind of getting booked in. This one and his mate, I lost four of the mates of that, and I had five of them. And, of course, he acted kind of silly because I'll tell you, he's just a little over a year old, this one is. That and right yonder is a mate to this one down here.
He's just a little over a year old.
Just a little bit, he's a little over about 18 months old. Here's a year old. They're just not young. These mates here, they're just a year old. Now, these are the highest blooded walker dogs can be bought.
Is that a name of a dog, Mr.?
That's the walker was started the breeding of.
Yeah.
Wedge Walker.
Yeah.
Way back down in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And they started breeding, and see, they got history. I got the pedigrees of six generations on these dogs.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. And I the same. You see, the mother, right out yonder, of this dog here, and that one and this one here, was a mate to those that got killed.
He got a good voice, didn't he?
Yeah, they got good tongues. You ought to heard that, my big stud dog. He had a big saddleback and had a big flag tail. Bigger, more flag tail than these. These tails get a little bit more flags on them. See, that's kind of in the breeding of them.
Hello.
You see, when my hip starts to come swell up, two feet off the ground, you get put a jip up and don't let them run loose. Right here, you don't see no bunch of dogs down here messing around here. They don't let jips in there and heat coming here.
Oh, how do you know?
There's a lot to learn about dogs.
And then you're not worried.
No.
All the time.
No, they don't really see behind here. He's holding up. I'll prepare it about one or two more days just to run out of that one too. And I'm going to build a big house in here. Now, these are young dogs. See, I've had to raise again to get started on Tallulah. See, I went in to breed and raise these two letters. And I had to because I lost many of those ones.
That almost put you out of business.
Man, kind of over $1,000 worth. You see, I just started swelling up 3 days ago. Look how big she is. Now then, now, a lot of people don't understand it because I've raised and bred dogs all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she won't take a dog now. It looks like she would, but she won't. But when that swelling kind of goes down, she'll take a dog then.
Oh.
And for about 9 days.
She attract them now?
Yeah. They'll follow her. Now, they'll come and watch and uh-huh. watch her. She gets ready now, if she is out.
Uh-huh.
But she'd be in this kennel, they don't smell.
I see.
Then when I take her out, I won't let her out here on the ground. I'll put her up. 2 feet off the ground, you'd be dry. And see, I clean it out every day, and I eat a little dirt up in there. And I just put that up yesterday. Last night was the first time she'd been in there at night. See, when they come in heat, you see, I put them up, and I'm not going to breed these young dogs. In fact, I'm not going to breed these young dogs. I'll do that. When I lose these, it'll be all of it. I just want to make up my mind. Yeah, I'm 71 years old.